coming your way live from a top secret location in Redondo Beach. You're listening to Aspel on the Esplanade on CHSR, HealthyLife.net Radio.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel, Aspel on the Esplanade. And I'm sitting here with the Grinch. Jay Cruz, you got the Grinch shirt on. I got a Santa shirt on. You got the Grinch shirt on.
I love the Grinch.
I love the Grinch, too.
My favorite Christmas character of all.
I really enjoy Christmas with my wife. Really, really enjoys. She's like triple, really.
Uh-huh.
And I like it. And I got the whole house decorated.
You got the tree already?
Oh, we got two trees.
Wow.
One upstairs, one down. No, we bought trees.
Yeah, yeah.
I went fake.
Like, oh,
3 years
okay.
ago. And one's about 6 foot tall, one's only like 5 feet or 4.5.
Uh-huh.
And I was so mad she went and bought these trees.
Uh-huh.
And now with the price of trees,
yeah,
I'm happy. We just put them up in the garage and we're fine. It's all good. I put them up in 2 minutes and we're done. But I put the outside lights up.
Do they come color-coded with the stems?
No.
We had one like that growing up.
Yeah, probably an aluminum tree with a light wheel on it.
Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, yet your bulbs had to be chrome or silver and pink or purple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now you don't use regular bulbs anymore.
Right.
My wife's got all her trick bulbs from souvenirs.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but we're ready to go.
And well, they sell, like, Christmas lights year-round at, like, dollar stores, but I'm like, I don't know if I can trust that dollar store Christmas
light. Don't do that,
thing,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I actually am downsized because mm-hmm. I don't replace them anymore. I bought so many over the years. I still have two or three rolls of 500
mm-hmm.
that are clear lights, but they're not the new kind. They're not.
Yeah.
Well, I have the old kind, the bulbs,
uh-huh.
little ones.
Yeah.
What are the new ones called? I forget that. What are the lights I'm looking at on the ceiling here? I'm so old.
Brighter than I like.
No, I know, but what's it called now? What are the
fluorescent?
No, the new kind of light bulbs you buy. Help me. We're so stupid.
Yeah.
We'll figure out the break. Anyway. We're done. We're good. I like it. We have grandkids now.
Sure.
But like I was telling you when I walked in, I almost didn't make it today.
Yeah.
Because I just got busy, got stuff going. You know, I'm dressed better than I normally am.
Right.
I do some business this morning. And then I went home and grandkids are there. So.
There is another option.
So, you know, I guess about 20 minutes ago, I guess I will make it. That's why I text you. It's by GPS.
Yeah.
I do live that far away. So GPS, you're 18 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that's a 20-minute drive, so I'm in trouble. So I got here.
Yeah.
But we're here, and I was listening to the radio on the way up here, and they're talking about all the traffic on the 101.
Uh-huh.
Because PCH is closed down due to the fires.
Malibu
fires. And I started laughing at myself going, of course there's effing traffic on the 101. Even if there wasn't a fire, there'd be traffic. This time of year, there's lots of traffic anyway.
Of course.
And I remember when I used to work at Farmers Insurance, I had my office in Torrance. Well, I had offices in Manhattan, Redondo, Torrance.
I'm still buzzing about the George Brett story from last week with the pine tar bat. That's one of my favorite moments in baseball. It's the pine tar incident.
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan and that dude Robin Ventura. And I don't know.
When Robin Ventura charged the mound?
Yeah.
And Nolan Ryan cold-cocked him? That's right.
Yeah. There's a funny story to that. I'll get to it later. But you were talking about your offices before
But people would come from our home office was in Simi Valley.
Okay, that's kind of
far. And all these big wheels would have to come down and review my stuff every once in a while or,
uh-huh.
you know, have a come-to-Jesus meeting.
Yeah, those are always good times.
Yeah, well, F them. I didn't. I'm an independent contractor. They got all these little college-educated dorks that come down. They got out of some college and they got to teach you, going to tell you how to sell more insurance.
Right.
And you've never sold anything unless it was to your cousin or your sister or something like that to practice.
Uh-huh.
But they had to give us advice, and I just sit there and smile like, "Thank you, sir. I'll have another."
Right.
But they drive, and every effing time, they were late.
Yeah.
And a lot of these were before cell phones.
Mm.
So they'd show up a half hour late, and I'd go, you know, I'm not known to keep my mouth shut. Where the F have you been?
Yeah, no, I'm a stickler on time, too, especially when it's non-elective. You know, we're not getting together for beers and pool tables.
Exactly.
This is, you know.
You can't tell me you're home with your kids or you get a flat tire, but you were just because you didn't plan.
Mm-hmm.
They show up late, and they go, oh, there's a lot of traffic on the 405.
Shocking.
No shit. There's traffic on the 405 to 3 a.m. You right. live here, where I live, and all my businesses was as far from the freeway as you can get.
Yeah.
And that's the good news
that's
and
another
the bad.
25 minutes.
That's the good news and the bad news.
Right.
And if you ask 20 people how to get to my house from the freeway, they'll give you 20 different answers.
Exactly.
But they'd always say there was traffic. And I go, well, you're supposed to know there's traffic. How long have you lived here? Well, I just moved from Des Moines about 6 months ago. Anyway, all happy memories.
That reminds me of a Uber person, you know, that tried to get to LAX, like for an overnight flight. Mm-hmm. You know, they're leaving from Redondo. It's like 10:30. I'm like, when's your flight? And they're like, 11:05. I'm like, oh.
Goodbye.
I'm like, okay, well, just to let you know, this isn't Charlotte, North Carolina that you're taking off from tonight.
This
you know?
Is L.A. Well, I don't mind the traffic. You just learn to live with it. You leave on time.
You know, and you look at the sun. You go, that's why I'm here.
That's true.
Sunshine.
Well, it's 75 degrees outside.
Yeah.
I went to the gym this morning. I wore a sweatshirt and a wool cap, my Grateful Dead wool cap, and I wore it out of the house, worn it in the gym. I took it off, haven't put it back on since. Now it's 75 degrees.
Yeah.
But if it's 59 degrees, I'm a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
I purposely did not move to a place with snow.
I'm no good in the snow.
And I'd rather live, I could be in Palm Springs in the middle of August.
Yeah.
And 120 degrees would not bother me. You going in and out. I mean, I'm not going to go out. I wasn't going to run a marathon here.
I remember the time I actually wore a three-piece suit to Vegas because I was working in corporate sporting goods, and I caught a flight leaving from work, and it was one of those family plans. So the, you know, friend of a friend who was putting me on the family plans, like, yeah, you know, dress up. I'm like, I got to wear shirt and tie every day, not with, you know, the Grinch that you're looking at now. And I'm like, okay, so I'll pack super light. I got my suit for the wedding, the party, and the flight home and the flight back. You know, I just had a, you know, other pair. But it's like, you know, 100 degrees, I'm like, I'm actually kind of cool.
It's actually nice. You look good, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, you look like this guy's got balls. He's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And it's hot. But, you know, it's interesting. On the way up here, I left so late. Usually I try to be semi-professional and take a few notes.
Oh, yeah.
Today, none. On the way up here.
That's all right.
Thinking about what I'm going to talk about or what we're going to talk about. I'm texting my wife. I don't know how to record my voice into my phone. I know you can.
Okay.
I never bothered picking that up.
I just text. By the time I figure out how to do that other thing, I've texted you.
Well, what I did, I text my wife. I said, I'm going to text you a bunch of one-liners, cut and paste, and send them back to me. So she did. And that's why I said, I'm going to speak into the phone and text you some notes. For my radio show, please copy and paste and send it back to me. And I thought she'd call me. What are you talking about? But she did.
Cool.
So here's my notes, and I'll see if I keep to it. But I had my first notes were Malibu Fire, traffic in the 101, MRI, old, grandkids, and when did I start healthy life? That was a question. I know, but okay. I've asked you this a million times before.
Yeah, I got to.
Because I'm having it Feed the Kitty on January 6th, I think, or 7th, the first Tuesday of January. And that'll be a 10-year anniversary when I had them on, when I first met them.
You started, looks like, very early January of 2012. That's what we have here. I have a little partial list of most of our hosts. 2012.
Yeah,
you'd been a veteran by the time Feed the Kitty came in.
Holy moly, 2012. I've done this for this many years. Okay, well, I made it.
How do you think I feel? Actually, I was a guest on one of our hosts yesterday, and he's like, send me a bio. And I'm like, I've been doing this so long, I don't have a bio, really.
Yeah,
I just,
bio.
Like, don't, I'm, you know, I do what I do, and I don't really care about a bio so much. But I, you know, kind of came up with one, and I'm just like, you know, I just wanted to keep it short because, you know, who wants to just talk about what I've done? Just bring me on, and we'll talk about it as opposed to the –
well,
but it's kind of fun.
Well, I'm going, this is long. Well, I volunteered for a lot of stuff before. This is a total volunteer. Anybody listening, I'm a total volunteer job here.
Oh, yeah.
And I've done it. And, you know, most of the fun things you don't get paid for.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
You know, when I was in college radio, I even said, if I never make a dime out of radio, this has been fun.
Yeah.
I've already had a good time.
It is interesting. Kind of hanging out.
So I'm back to that situation.
Anyway, in a month. You know, I'm worried I might not make it. The rest of the year is going to be tight, but I have.
Oh, yeah. Well, a couple of weeks we're shutting down anyway.
That's good. Yeah. Feed the Kitty will be on the first Tuesday of 2025 to commemorate 10-year anniversary. And I want to, everybody still points at me in their silly song.
Yeah.
There's Steve, the SOB. And now it's got to be a thing. Where I'm not going to break their thing, but it's official. I'm not Steve, the SOB. I'm an SOB.
So should I pull that you said you wanted to pull a little bit of sound out of that, so we can do some flashback.
Yeah, we'll have something on there. Just figure out some cute little things. Because I listened to it last week, and yeah. I never heard any of their songs. The first song I had them sing was I'm Going Country, Going Country.
Okay, because I think that was their new album at
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, when they sang it, then they did that DNA. Guys, I don't like that song. Anyway,
I don't think they've played it in a long time.
They played it somewhere at the Village recently or
okay.
So anyway, we'll have them on. Speaking of the Feed the Kitty, they weren't at R10 the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's only three more weeks anyway. So
right.
On Friday night, but they played the second week they played at the Serendipity Restaurant near my house, of course, and it was used to be Ortega 120. And it's a goofy little restaurant. It's really great food. It's huge inside. Mm. The prices are half of what I think it was like 1980 prices. And we were there again the other day, and made me want to start drinking again. And I'm not quitting forever. I'm just not drinking right now. And I'm going, I'll have a club soda. I have a coffee. Pam goes, all I do is use piss a lot more.
Yeah.
She had to buy more creamer today for the coffee. She goes, you're going through coffee like crazy. Is that they do at AA meetings? I don't know. I'm drinking a lot of coffee. But
that's all I drink now. Coffee in the morning, two big cups, which is probably four real cups.
Yeah.
Double size. So I have one here. And then water.
Yeah, I drink coffee and stuff.
All I'm drinking.
I drink the same juice I mix my vodka with.
Mm-hmm.
The zero calorie. It tastes like shit. anyway, it's a... But Serendipity, they played there from 11 until 2.
Okay.
On Sunday,
a.m.
A little brunch. It was 11 at p.m., you know, we wouldn't be there.
Right.
So anyway, it was really good if you ever get a chance. And the cool thing about Serendipity, the food is really, really great, and it's really cheap. I mean, it's 30-year-old prices. They don't even know it. I've told them, but I shouldn't have told them. But happy hour drinks are $4.
Wow.
And they give you 2 ounces. I mean, it's a real pour.
That's so pretty heavy.
You want to get a buzz and get cheap food and good food, go to Serendipity, and they're nice people.
That's a heck of an endorsement.
Get a cheap drug, but it looks like the Jetsons.
Oh yeah,
started in mid-century 1960 Palm Springs.
I love that. In fact, that whole 1960s furniture and architecture is known as Googie.
Googie?
Googie. There's like, you could look that up. It's almost Google, but it's called Googie. And it's like funny. That space age looking, you know, where the ceilings are kind of angled, occasionally a Denny's or a Norm's, you know, those kind of things. And just old architecture around Los Angeles, you'll see it where the, you know, angles and maybe like just an Astro looking just ball hanging out in front.
That's right. The old, it looks like Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Well, there's a place in Inglewood, still there, called Astro Burger on La Brea.
Uh-huh.
Still got a little Astro thing. It looks like a space...
May have driven past it. I was doing a lot of rides in Inglewood.
Yeah, it's on La Brea.
I was specifically on La Brea, too.
Yeah, and it's near their DMV.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like a Sputnik, a little thing, or a little 1970 spaceship or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But then... All that mid-century architecture, they used to have a restaurant until recently got closed called Dinas over on Sepulveda, where Westchester meets Culver City.
Oh, yeah.
And they're famous for their fried chicken. Well, it's gone. They moved it somewhere in Culver City, and everybody's bitching about this. But where did it all go? It's all gone.
I know someone who goes there specifically for liver and onions.
Really?
I wouldn't go any. I wouldn't. Eat liver and onions if you brought it to me and paid me, but other people like it, and that's a place to acquire liver and onions.
I haven't had it for a while, but I used to order it all the time at the bullpen.
Mm.
It's got to be well done.
Mm-hmm.
It has to have onions and bacon.
Mm.
And I ate it.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't have a... I mean, I'm not going to order it first. I'll try something different.
Yeah.
But anyway, Pam's had... I mean, well, that's Dinah's. Well, the only place left in Westchester where I grew up... is called Pans. It's on the border of Inglewood.
It was right past that as well.
La Cienega and La Tierra.
I was right over there a lot the other day.
It's where La Cienega, La Tierra, and Centinela intersect, and it's on the triangle in there.
Yeah.
I made my wife go over there with me about a year ago, right when the pandemic was over. And I got the Cobb salad or whatever it was, except that's what I remember getting. And it was so good.
Yeah.
Right out of 1950.
Uh-huh.
All these old places are gone.
Yeah.
And they're getting replaced by heartless, soulless places. But
I know.
But everybody, you know, harkens back to the old days. As I always say, you go back to the days when a black guy couldn't drive down the street at night. You know, that's what they're thinking.
Right, right.
But these restaurants, you know, the good old days weren't always so good. We just remember them different.
That's so all. Things like that, going to get a restaurant, you know, you might have had some bad adventure on the way to the restaurant. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's we remembered the restaurant.
Yes. Well, I went to lunch almost every day when I worked at Safeway. I went to lunch at the Venice Bowling Alley, and I worked there for the last year and a half of my famous career at Safeway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at Centinella and La Brea in Mar Vista.
Okay.
In West L.A. And I go by myself over to the Venice Bowling Alley, because bowling alleys always have good food.
Yeah.
And read a newspaper and have a chef sell a blue cheese dressing.
And I love the
1950s.
The occasional ambiance of pins crackling in a strike well rolled by a professional style bowler.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't make it that as fun anymore. There's nobody smoking.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's kind of sober.
Yeah.
You know, they're not drinking as much, and you couldn't walk into a bowling alley without two packs of Marlboros in your jacket.
That's what makes the Big Lebowski such an awesome movie.
Oh,
it's
God,
like, of
yeah.
all things, he's into bowling.
Bowling.
And he's another in the league championship or the playoffs.
So. I loved bowling when I was young.
Me too.
If I did it now, they'd be calling me out with the paramedics.
I tried it a couple years ago, and I'm certainly not what I was, but as a junior bowler, when I stopped about the age of 18, I had about a 183 average.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, but I'd been bowling like 10 years from the age of 8 to 18. My mom was actually junior director at the local bowling alley in town.
Whoa.
And she was way into bowling, so naturally I got way into bowling. Family.
I used to love it. Oh, yeah. Eldorado Bowling Alley, the Westchester, or the Paradise Bowling Alley. And my mom and dad used to hang out at the Paradise Bowling Alley bar.
Yeah.
And it's no longer, it's an office building now.
And then I used to keep score on weekends. I'd go down, you know, before the electronic scoreboards. I was replaced by AI way a long time ago. Except we just called it computers back then. We didn't call it AI.
It's just a way to cheat. Yeah.
But I'd get like $2 per game for each person.
They'd
do a series. That'd be like three games times six. I'd make like 18, 20 bucks.
Is this in Hayward or Fremont or what?
Milpitas. And
okay.
Fremont also. There used to be a place called Cloverleaf Bowl in Fremont. That's where I started and bowled for years until Milpitas built Mission Lanes, where we were closer to.
Wow. Do you have your own shoes?
I did.
You have your own bag? Ball?
I did. I have none of it anymore. You but I was, geek. I got to the point. Seriously, you're about to get even more geek information.
That's geeky.
I had what was known as a fingertip drilled bowling ball. What that is, I mean, normally, you know, you go down there and there's house balls and you pick it in. You go, 15, 16. That's, you know, usually guys go for the big, you know, the bigger ones. And someone had told me about fingertip, which gives you a wider grip. And basically your thumb is normal, but your middle finger and ring finger, it literally is a fingertip. The holes are not very deep. And you just, when you release it, it literally flies off. And it does a certain rotation, and it's, you know, kind of as like steroid as you can get for bowling, I guess, because it's a performance-enhanced bowling ball. But it's totally legal, and, you know, all the pros do it. So it's kind of like the cork bat of bowling balls.
That's amazing. That's why you like the George Brett thing.
Yeah.
You got pine tar on the
bowling
ball.
I'm a Raider fan. I appreciate someone who's maybe trying to get an edge.
That's funny, because you are a geek. I didn't know anybody so into bowling.
And then, like, at that point, when I said I had the 183 average, I used to get, like, I'll say the word pissy if I didn't get a 200. Because I'd get a 200, like, once a week. And if I didn't get that 200, I'd be like, rah, rah, rah. You know, and I figured, you know, if I'm getting mad because I'm not getting a 200, which used to be celebration and a joy, now it's like if I don't do that, I get upset. Maybe it's time to give bowling a break.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a fun drunk sport. Well, it took away the fun.
Yeah. Well, I was young. I wasn't drinking yet. It was only, you know. Young days, so that
oh my
too.
God,
you know.
You're really bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I did it as a kid. My mom, was
fine.
Again bowling.
My
personality.
I have friends like two or three of my really good friends right now are still bowling. They missed an event I was at a few weeks ago. They were in Vegas at a bowling tournament.
Nice.
And they go to Reno for bowling tournaments. Last time I bowled was a Farmers Insurance conference up in Reno. The major, the big super bowling
That's
center.
For that movie Kingpin with Bill Murray.
I don't really watch bowling movies too much. It's funny.
It's really a comedy. So, bowling just happens to be the backdrop. It's probably Pam saying you're not using the notes.
No, it's one of my favorite bar owners.
Okay.
I'll have to call him back later.
Sure.
But
anyway, hijacked that with a bowling story. Yeah, but you're talking about the Westchester or the Vis Bowl and our great restaurant.
The Venice, but the Westchester bowling alley. I remember I had to be there once when my dad got carted out by the police.
Hmm.
He was there with my mom, and drinks were being served.
Sure.
And I don't know why I was there, because I wasn't old enough to drink, but I was, I don't know, I was old, 20, 18 or something. And some guy was, my mom was built, was bigger topside than most people, and she was good looking when she was young.
Uh-huh.
But she, some guy was hitting on her and kind of touching her.
Okay.
And my dad, his nickname was Pablo.
Former Marine?
The Marine, yeah.
You're always a Marine. He was active Marine.
He was an ex-active Marine. But this pool cue he had in his hand happened to break.
Just happened.
Happened to break right across the guy's face.
He went George Brett inside the guy's head.
He took a full swing, and this thing broke. It was like it was a Hollywood set.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood gag, because the thing came apart so easy. He swung it with such force. The guy went down, and the cop showed up. Pablo went away, and he came back the next day. He came back that night.
Yeah.
Because you could beat somebody up for grabbing your wife's boob back
then. That's kind of a legitimate reason.
But, so it was just the Aspel way.
Yeah.
But if someone grabbed my wife, I'd take him out somehow. They'd probably kill me now, but I would, whatever. It's just funny. I'm looking at this. We're talking about bowling alley. One of my notes was MRI.
Yeah.
I'm having an MRI tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
On my right rotator cuff, so my bowling career would be over anyway.
Right, right.
I went and saw the doctor again yesterday because it's getting worse, my rotator cuff. And he goes, what have you done in the last 4 months? You made it worse. I go, well, I'm trying to make it better. He goes, well, you did do a good job. So he goes, I can't operate. I can't do anything because I have to get a new MRI because the old one's obsolete. It's only 6 months old.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to schedule for January sometime a rebuild of the rotator cuff so I can add that to my repertoire of incisions and new parts.
Not to whiz in your Cheerios, but the rotator cuff surgery is not one of the more fun ones. I mean, my friend, the guitar player, he's struggling. He got it in August. He's barely getting through the pain threshold.
August?
Yeah.
Well, everybody tells me, including the doctors I've dealt with and my wife, who knows me very well, that that probably won't be an issue because I just have this thing and about pain. But I'm mostly concerned. He said, well, it was going to be arthroscopic, which means you're in a little sling for 2 weeks. He goes, this one, I might have to do the full Monty. You might be in a sling for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Which I've done this before. When I was paralyzed on my right side years ago from a bad surgery.
Yeah.
Learning to wipe your butt from the wrong end. That's a difficult thing. You got to, and that's not a marital thing.
No, no.
So you got to do this. And a buddy of mine put a bidet in.
Probably a good idea.
My buddy Dominic, he can do anything. He just does stuff. He builds things.
Uh-huh.
He put a little mini bidet in his toilet.
Hey.
And I could see his shoulder replaced two days before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, when you're young, you talk about getting laid. You talk about smoking pot. You talk about taking your trips. When you're old, you talk about your surgeries.
Yeah.
And wiping yourself.
Minimizing our rehabs.
So anyway, it's probably going to happen. They said you'll be sleeping in a recliner chair for about a month. Okay, I can watch TV. Who knows what, but anyway, it's just MRI tomorrow. Have you ever had an MRI?
No.
They're a peach. You know, they're a lot of fun.
Right.
And most people have to get drunk or valiumed up. I just deal with it. It's like you're laying in your own coffin.
Right.
The roof is like a fourth of an inch above your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes thump, 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 thump. They give you earphones that don't do anything.
Sure.
And anyway, you lay there for a half
hour. Plus, you're already in the hospital, so you're like, oh, this is just good times.
It's a place in Torrance. It's not even a hospital. It's just a little office. But the first thing that goes through my mind, what if there's an earthquake or a fire?
Yeah.
Or what if that guy looking through the window has a heart attack?
Right.
You got to have an escape plan.
Yeah, some of the people at those offices, I'm like, hey, man, this guy's a few meals away from needing to come in himself.
He's had too many chicken fried steaks right there. But you lay there going, well, they give you a panic button.
Okay.
In case you freak out and you want to get out.
But then you got to go back to zero.
You got to go back in.
And start again. Yeah.
So no matter how bad you freak out, you better just deal with it.
Yeah.
But there's no, they should have a panic button where you can get out. It opens up instead of having the guy come and get you.
Yeah.
Because that guy has a heart attack. See, you're
That's
dead.
Like me. If there's an earthquake and I'm walking across this bridge, I'm going to fall on the freeway. And then one time I was just paralyzed with fear, and I go, well, the longer I stand here increases the chances of that earthquake happening. I better just keep moving.
I'm more fearful of simple things rather than those things.
Yeah. I'm just afraid of heights. Bridges. I don't like bridges.
Really? Bridges, okay.
I mean, I don't like heights, and then when you're driving over a bridge.
How'd you like the movie Bridge Too Far? But I'm bump, you didn't see it.
I saw it, yeah. But I think it had to do with a movie when I was young, either that or an early earthquake in the early 70s when I was.
You probably watched Superman when the Golden Gate Bridge fell over and he had to fix it, and you were little then, probably.
Yeah.
And look what happened to Christopher Reeves. It didn't help him.
I know. In fact, I think his documentary is about to come out on HBO.
Oh, probably. Yeah, I saw the an advertisement for it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of documentaries, there's one on HBO called Yacht Rock, which is kind of fun. Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock.
Yeah, it's basically the new thing for like 70s easy listening.
It's like K-Earth. Not K-Earth.
K-Earth used to be.
Yeah,
it's when it was good.
The station my wife listens to is, it's a lot of Michael McDonald.
Oh, he's all over the documentary.
And Christopher Cross.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, you think about it.
Toto. No, the guys in Toto like were major session musicians. They're amazing. They played like in 2000 records.
Yeah, I know. I actually was told I couldn't stand them back. I couldn't stand them 25 years ago because they're too polished.
Right.
And then a buddy of mine said they're the most perfect band. The guy's a musician. Mm-hmm. I said, most perfect band ever. And
right.
They're all trained professionals. And then I got to meet Bobby
Kimball, the singer.
Bobby Kimball.
Yeah.
At a, this was a dry name dropping. I was at a party in Palos Verdes for Greg Allen, who's Coach George Allen's son. And he had all these, the band was two guys on the horns from Chicago. Bobby Kimball. And some bass player got long, shaggy hair and a long, shaggy gray beard. No, he's on everything. I watched the video.
Oh, probably Leland Sklar.
Leland, that's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a session guy for every guy in the world.
Yeah, he did a lot of work with Jackson Browne.
Yes,
among other people, but yeah, tons of sessions as well.
And then I was looking at, I saw when I thought about it, I was looking at some video this morning of Something in the Air Tonight. Phil Collins. That drum. And who's the bass player? That guy you just talked about.
Oh, Leland Sklar, yeah.
And he was in a video with he's with the Eagles now.
Oh. Jackson.
No, the country western guy.
Vince Gill,
yeah. So anyway, I go to this party, these guys are playing.
That's cool.
I don't know any of them. I had no idea. I recognize the sound for the horns.
Yeah.
But the Bobby Kimball guy, that was a lot of hair coloring.
Mm-hmm.
But he was singing songs. And I go, I know that voice. And yeah. It was Toto guy. But yeah, even that, with those guys there, the party was still boring. Too far to drive home from PV. But I got to meet a lot of people. That was a really fun part.
Oh, sure.
Speaking of the mayor thing, the races are on now in Redondo Beach.
Yeah.
I've been meeting with some of the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of people ask me, not a lot, my ego's there. I had a number of people ask me to run. Why the heck I'm not running? I said I would never do it again. I'd rather stick hot poker up my ass.
Right.
Needles in my face and my eyes. With social media now, they go after you. And so, and there's two candidates running that they're already being accused of not having any experience to be mayor.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I didn't have experience. to be councilman. When I was a councilman, you just decide to run.
Yeah,
you don't want a professional anyway. So
commitment is the big thing. You can't really take a lot of absences.
Yeah, you can't. I remember driving a lot of driving because I told these people, you get paid nothing, like $900.
Right.
And you're flying somewhere on a business trip. You have to go out to D.C. or something. The city's paying for your coach airfare. You want to upgrade, sit with all the real mayors.
Yeah.
You got to sit. You got to pay your own way. But you know, it's not a job for money.
No.
And the interesting thing about a mayor, which you learn once you're a mayor, is people know what a mayor, they don't know what a mayor does, but they know a mayor. Compared to the TV.
Oh, yeah.
The little kids, 5-year-old kids, when I was mayor, they treated me like I was God.
Uh-huh.
You're a mayor.
Yeah.
I had pictures and autographs, and everything. You say you're a council member? Oh, whatever. Next.
Yeah.
Get out of here. We don't want to talk to you. Everybody can be a council member, but not everybody can be a mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the best part about doing it. And I told people, you don't need to have, you just have to have thick skin. You don't need to have any talent.
Yeah.
Other than get along with people because and have a lot of free time.
Yeah.
Because if you are a council member or just a team father on Little League or something, and you miss some kid's school event, it's okay.
Yeah.
But if you're the mayor and you're invited and you don't make it, that kid, that five-year-old kid, will know it and he'll tell every person he knows that mayor's an asshole.
Yeah, they'll remember the bad things more than the good.
They want the mayor there. You don't miss anything because people will remember.
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, I invited Steve to my son's graduation and he didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
I saw more school plays, more things you'd ever believe. I love most of them, but I remember when I was reffing soccer, I was mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I get more shit from that. They didn't like it. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's soccer.
Reffing soccer is harder than being mayor.
Yeah.
Because parents are the worst. I'd rather deal with Trump supporters than deal with
mayor. You know, sports parents and their, you know, misguided dream, you know, living their dreams to their kids because they were failures as athletes.
Exactly.
Generally is what's going on.
Exactly. I told my two son-in-laws, do not make these kids do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky. Brett got a really great scholarship at Chaminade University in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't like a D1 softball school, but it was still a great education.
Oh,
plus,
yeah.
In a beautiful spot.
Mm-hmm.
She was, and it was interesting because, well, first thing, it was a culture shock for her. She's 6 foot tall and blonde and blue eyes, and she was the only Howley on the team.
Yeah.
And they didn't accept her right away.
No, that's a little of an issue over there.
She's taking a spot up. And now they're the best friends. They still show up at her house.
Of course.
But when you get a scholarship, parents have to used to give talks at Redondo High. Who saved up yet? No, we don't. They haven't. They're going to start now. Too late. You got to start early.
Yeah.
And scholarships, we got like $18,000 a year for her scholarship. The tuition's like $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Plus flying back and forth, plus shipping the car, plus visitations.
Yep.
So I could have sent her to any school over here without a scholarship, cheaper than it was to get a scholarship at Chaminade.
Right.
And then she came with a great education. She's got a great job, great career and everything. But, yeah, parents chasing scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody gets to go to the, you know, USC or Notre Dame or Penn State or whatever.
And not everyone's getting $10 million NIL money.
No, NIL. Yeah, when you're the backup punter, you're not getting anything. And whatever, but people got to save for that. But I'm kind of regretting it now. We save money, pay for the kids' college education, even their masters, and now they're forgiven all the loans.
Right.
I said, I shouldn't have just got a loan.
Yeah.
I could have got it all paid back.
Yeah, no, me too.
What a drag, I know.
But then again, my conscience just is kind of like, yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, pay it back. Well, I mean, you know what? We didn't have loans, but I kind of go, well, we outsmarted ourselves.
Right.
So anyway, what else I got here? So, yeah, well, I had the grandkids there this morning. Now, here's why it's hard, even laying off the sauce, trying to be eat healthy, whatever. Mm-hmm. A parent, I remember I put on a lot of weight when my kids were small.
Mm-hmm.
And now I realize, like just this morning, I had leftover hot dog and a stick, leftover chicken tenders, sliced apples, and two cookies.
Yeah.
On the way here, before I got here, Peg, would you want these? They're a little, she just microwaved them or put them in the air fryer. And I'm afraid to touch the air fryer. She has to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll blow up the house. But I'm eating all their leftover food every effing day.
That's funny.
And you know, what else we got? It's just, I'm talking, we have we're all the cannabis now. We've had a new council member in Redondo Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to talk about the mayor thing in the elections. But
yeah, we can
the council member in North Redondo, he wasn't elected when they had the ballot measure to approve cannabis or not.
But the
See, if you say cannabis, it's actually respectable.
Right.
If you say dime bag, it's not.
No.
So
unless you're the guitarist for Pantera.
Who?
Dimebag Darrell.
I don't know. That's your music. I don't know that shit. It's really a band called.
Well, there was a guitar player named Dimebag Darrell. That was his nickname.
Really?
Yeah,
for what band?
Pantera.
Hard, heavy metal?
Very heavy metal.
Okay.
Like about as heavy as I listen to.
Really? You still listen to it?
Pantera, I do, yeah. Well, wow, I met those guys.
Okay.
It was
a
pretty big event and got to see them a number of times. Thinking about Dimebag Darrell, he and his brother had formed another band And they were playing December the 8th in Columbus, Ohio, back in like 2000. I can't remember the date. I'm saying 2004, 2005. And he was shot on stage. Some psycho fan that was upset that the band broke up decided to bring a gun to the show, ended up killing Dimebag, almost got his brother.
He killed Dimebag?
On stage, yeah.
Dimebag Daryl?
Same day as the John Lennon day, so it was just this weekend.
Just
so,
recently?
Yeah, just on fresh on my mind.
20 years ago?
Yeah, about there.
Amazing. You ever thought about 20 years ago?
Yeah, that's...
Okay, that's funny you're bringing up. I was thinking, today, if I say something happened in 2004,
mm-hmm.
that's memorable, you would, it doesn't seem that long ago.
It seems like 6 years ago.
Yeah, but you think about, I was born in 1953, 20 years before that was 1933.
You know.
And that seems like a million years.
It's been a little over 20 years since I moved to L.A. It was 2001, November 1st of 2001.
Time goes by fast when you're old, though.
It does. That's the thing. You know, when you're 8, summer vacation lasts forever. You go to school and go, wow, that kid grew like 3 inches over the summer.
Yeah.
Now it's like...
Well, that's one of the things that I talked about with Feed the Kitty 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When they were talking about how long they'd known each other or whatever. Mm-hmm. Time goes slow or whatever. Time goes fast.
Yeah.
I said, not fast enough. When you're 16, you're 15, it takes 10 years to be 16.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 20, it takes 20 years to be 21. Now, it just moves different depending on what you're looking forward to.
Yeah.
But it's a...
No, I'm like...
We're back to cannabis. So yeah. Now we can have cannabis, respectable name.
Yeah.
So we're trying to... I'm trying to help this company put a place in South Redondo.
Yes.
And it's amazing. Call it cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
My wife will now purchase it.
Right.
In fact, if you go into the Green Temple, what's it called?
Green Cross.
Green Cross.
Green Temple's a veggie restaurant in South Redondo.
I've been there.
Very good stuff.
I'm good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Oh, it's right across from HT Grill.
It is.
Upstairs.
Yeah. Right at old...
Or right behind the other shit place, burrito place.
I don't know about that place, but yeah, Green Temple. It's pretty much vegetarian and vegan stuff. So
oh, good.
That's probably
it.
Why you've...
You guys from Hayward, you know, enjoy that stuff. I don't...
My wife been there in a long time.
My wife feeds me.
I'm in a mood.
We just, she told me today, I don't even miss pasta. We haven't had pasta in over a year.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we have that spaghetti squash. It tastes like pasta. It doesn't really. It looks
zucchini
like
zucchini squash.
Spaghetti.
Okay.
You cut it open, it comes out stringy.
All right.
It's no carbs, low calorie. So, well, I'm going to not go back to being 250 pounds again.
That's a good idea. Don't do that.
But,
it's better for the heart.
It's better for everything, yeah.
Yeah, everything else, too.
It's good.
Heart's connected to everything else.
Yeah, so yeah, the funny thing about the cannabis is my wife's now. You walk into those places. There's one in Marina Del Rey across from a bar, you know, where Brennan's we used to go to. I think close. It's still open. Pot shop.
There's one down there on Lincoln. Lincoln?
We walked in there on Valentine's Day like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam was the first one in the door, so they signed her up. She has a little customer card. You get one more stamp on it, she gets a free something.
That's cool.
And
see, that's amazing.
But
like, when did that happen back in the 70s or 80s?
5 years ago, we had people coming to the river, at the compound at the river. Brett's and Katie's friends, she's smoking joints. She said, if you do it again, I'm kicking you out.
Yeah.
You can't stay.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. You're breaking the law. I hate pot. Now she doesn't smoke it, but the little gummies.
Yeah.
My son-in-law and daughter, we get paid for babysit with a pack of gummies all the time. They go by the Green Cross on the way here and bring us. My wife's doing, and she makes cookies. I hadn't had them for a while. But when I was in high school or something, you get they call them dime bags for, you know, $10, no stems and seeds that you don't need.
Right.
And now it's all okay.
Mm-hmm.
The same people that hated it back then now indulge it.
Yeah.
But I tell us one guy who's trying to get a license, one of the permits. They're putting out two permits in Redondo.
One in north, one in south?
Yes. And he came in HT 2 weeks ago passing out gummies to all the people. They were lined up. And people were going crazy. It looked like he was passing out rice, bags of rice in India or something over the side of a truck. And I'm cracking up going, he's giving them out one drop to the floor.
Yeah.
And I went to grab. He goes, no, you don't want that. I go, it's 3 second rule. Somebody else beat me to it. But you know, you're passing. I go, this is the whole world's really gone upside down.
Oh yeah.
But there will be a couple pot stores. Hopefully, the people that forgot to vote against it.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of people, Redondo, and they want a new election.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they said that after I was elected. Well, we want a new election. We didn't want him. But they always, people, they don't vote, and they bitch about the results.
Imagine that.
Imagine it happens. The people that bitch the most are the ones that don't vote.
And, you know, I'm going to call out the other citizens of Redondo Beach that don't bother to vote. We have a city of like 60 to 80,000, about 70-ish. Yeah, let's say 50 of those, 40-ish, are registered. There's some young kids that aren't, you know, that are counted but aren't registered, and maybe some that just didn't and maybe moved here and didn't re-register, because you got to do that even if you move from apartment one to apartment two and it's the same address. Get out and vote. You know, pay attention. And, you know, just the turnout in this city is beyond embarrassing.
Yeah, it's sad. I don't know. Isn't it nationwide that people don't vote?
It is. I mean, but here it seems, you know, epidemic proportions.
When you knock on, you know, to get elected, you got to knock on doors.
Yes.
You pay a lot of money for those lists.
Yes.
And it comes in a box of 1,000 pieces of paper. There's like 10 voters per. It has their, their Democrat, whatever. They have their address and name, phone numbers.
Uh-huh.
And you go through. They're very expensive to buy, so you only buy the ones high propensity voters.
Yes. Yeah.
Again, because if you try and knock on every house, you're going to waste your time.
Mm-hmm.
And even your best friends, they're not going to vote. If they don't vote now, they're not going to vote for you, or they'll forget. It's not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised. We knock on doors when you walk down the street, and people see you. And after a while, people know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And what about me? I said, you don't vote. Well, yeah, I do. Nope, sorry. You got to be careful, because then you piss them off. Now they'll go vote just to vote against
exactly.
You.
Now they want the other guy.
Sorry, I didn't stop at your house, but I didn't think you voted and you cared. Well, I do care. Okay, will you please vote? Yes. Will you go back and check after the election?
Yeah,
they didn't vote.
Of course.
By the way, we can tell, or any candidate can tell, if you voted.
Mm-hmm.
They can't tell who you voted for.
Yeah, see, I respect that.
That's the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, they called it fraud every year in Alaska. It's impossible.
I know.
You know, lying is easy. There's like one or two people involved, but you got 100,000 employees.
Mm-hmm. The conspiracy is tougher to cover up.
You can't. Especially you got alcohol involved and dime bags. You got all kinds of stuff.
Exactly.
You can't. The truth serum is out there, and you can't. You can't hide that. But anyway, people, when you knock on doors, you got to only talk to people that vote, because you don't have that much time. But anyways, people. Now I'm giving them some background, underground advice, basically, and because there are a few haters out there that'll make memes about it and stuff like that.
So
I will be dropping some emails that we got that were meant to be private, but they were produced on city Redondo Beach email computers.
Yeah.
So by law, they had to turn them over.
Yeah.
And the current interim mayor.
Mm-hmm.
He admitted on one of his things that he got busted by Facebook for drawing Pinocchio nose on Mayor Aspel and his family.
Oh,
and
God.
He was like suspended for 3 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And we can't do that anymore. Okay, whatever. But they make these memes now. So yeah, it's difficult to run for office, because I thoroughly believe that, you know, Kamala wasn't as dumb as the Trump people trying to make her out to be.
Right.
Obviously, she's an attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't be as nasty as we try to make him out to be.
Yeah.
He probably is, but this with social media and emails and stuff, people are crazy. So if you want to run, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
It kills your career. It's the most expensive job I ever had. And, but people want to do it. There's like four or five candidates. And, up to the last minute, I was thinking about getting signatures and getting it in.
Mm-hmm.
I go, you know what? It's still cost me $20,000 8 years ago.
Wow.
Not supporters.
Cost double me. That at least now.
Yeah, it cost me. Well, yeah. I still raise a lot of money.
Yeah.
But you want to do the final kill. You got to send out stuff. So it's got to the point on local elections where you got to spend your own family money.
Yeah.
To get a job, it isn't that.
It's not really a job. I mean,
it's not a job. It's a calling.
Volunteer,
it's a calling.
Position.
Yeah, you get medical insurance. That's $1,000.
Well, that
really top shelf stuff too.
Yeah,
but you get bitched at by the unions, by everybody, and by the people, and it's the most fun I ever had.
Yeah,
in a career, but I wouldn't recommend it to anybody unless you got a thick skin.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, you don't dare go to a meeting with any cocktails in you.
No.
Ooh, because my mouth can get a little sail away anyway without that. But so let me see what else. I did these notes on the way up here. That's amazing. Yeah, tomorrow night we're going to dinner with a lobbyist from D.C.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was very good friends with them when I was elected.
Mm-hmm.
And they just lobby for people. They work.
Do they just accidentally leave piles of cash?
No, they work for cities. Okay. The city pays them a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
They're hired by cities.
Yeah, okay.
To help probably lay money on the senator's desk.
Yeah.
But they'll take the mayor or the council around to meet the senators and the congresspeople.
Yeah.
And you want to get your money. Like they introduced me to Jane Harmon.
Uh-huh.
Way back when I was a council member. And she arranged to get us like $750,000 grant money from whatever branch of government it was for our Esplanade.
Nice.
The Esplanade was really bad. It was cracked sidewalk and horrible. Mm. So we had the ribbon cutting on it. We finally finished it. And I'll proudly take the credit for getting the money to fix that thing.
Cool.
But that's what your lobbyists take you and show you how to get money.
Okay.
And it's not as wild as people think it is. They just know everybody.
Yeah,
but they have a deep pocket expense accounts, which they do pass back on to the city.
Uh-huh.
So if you're halfway are honest about and truthful about when you go back to D.C. or wherever you meet these people, they're always going to take you to fine dining.
Mm-hmm.
But they just pay back. They just bill the city.
Okay,
the city you get like $25 a day per diem when you travel. You know, you get like two Big Macs.
Yeah.
But that's fine. But the lobbyists take people to dinner. That's what they do.
So it's kind of like the record company, you know, and the new band signs, and they're like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
The record company's taking us out. And then they look and they go, oh, those royalties from our first album went to all those French Laundry dinners and other places. the night at the hotel.
Yeah, the cities pay these lobbyists a pile full of money.
Yeah.
And you can always tell... the lobbyists we have.
How does one become a lobbyist?
Just got to be a child. How does one become a DJ, an insurance guy,
or whatever?
Probably your dad was in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
They have. You got. I was interested in that, but Pat wouldn't move.
Uh-huh.
Because it's fun. You get to you know where the word lobbyist came from.
The bar in
the
Washington.
Lobby bar.
Yeah.
At the it's been so long I forgot the name of the bar. The hotel.
The lobby hotel, I think.
No, it's a lobby bar. It's a lobby in the hotel.
The Continental?
No, I'll look it up.
That was just a guess.
No, it's a really cool place.
Okay.
And when you go there, you have to go get a drink in the lobby bar.
Okay.
And nobody's there. It's like going to Playboy Mansion. Nothing going on.
Uh-huh.
But it was, you get to say you were at the lobby bar. I got pictures of me sitting in the lobby bar with a couple other council members. And that's where the lobbyists weren't allowed to meet the representatives in the Capitol.
Uh-huh.
Had to meet them off-site. So they knew to meet them. And you can see the lobby bar, or as they said on January 6th, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You could throw a rock from the lobby bar to the White House.
I'm sure some people did.
They did. That's why. Yeah. But it's cool. Oh. The thing with Washington, D.C., I'm digressing. And if you've never left this place in your life,
right,
and you have one place to go before you drop dead, I'd go to D.C.
You know,
over Switzerland, over Ireland, or it's the most fascinating city in the world.
That there was that movie, I think Tom Hanks was in it, that guy Dan Brown, he wrote about kind of the secret society stuff.
Okay.
You know, and I forget the name of the movies, Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
I think it was either Da Vinci Code or like a follow-up to that, and I read the book. And I saw the movie, too, but in the book, it starts off where the history professor, I think it's Hanks, his character, you know, he talks to the class, and he goes, okay, what's the best vacation you've ever been on? People are like, Europe, Canada, Mexico. And he's like, who's been to the nation capital? And I started going, that's a great question. And then from that moment, I've been like, when am I going to go to the nation's capital?
I'm not kidding. It is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to be a mayor.
No.
You
just the power of that city, I've been told, is amazing.
I tell anybody if they're going to go to D.C., contact their local council member.
Okay.
It's the fastest way. Or mayor.
Uh-huh.
And have them get you an appointment with your congressperson.
Uh-huh.
Or senator. They'll meet you.
Okay.
I mean, or you meet with their staff. If you go, you just walk the halls of the U.S. Congress, U.S. Capitol, and you get to meet these people. You see them walking down the hallway, people you see on TV.
Yeah.
And they'll get you this tours of the Capitol and things, mm-hmm. rather than standing in line.
Okay.
And there's a special, there's a couple special subways in D.C. There's more than a couple. Uh-huh. I haven't been on all of them, but there's a couple that goes from the offices in for congressional offices to the Capitol.
Okay.
They're not going to walk.
Yeah, figure, you know, it's a little high profile.
You get to go on it. I mean, it's, and there, you go to have, in the congressional office buildings, they have cafeterias.
Nice.
It's all subsidized food.
Mm.
And it's good, but you go have lunch. And no, it is a trippy place. I've been there many times, and I only regret, I've been to a football game.
Right.
Which is out, not in Washington, D.C. anymore.
It's Capital.
It's in
Landover, Maryland?
Yeah, or? It's Landover. It's land a long way, Maryland.
I have that, but, again, silly trivia for the, stupid sports facts.
The hockey arena is right there.
Uh-huh.
Never been in it. RFK is now a relic, but it's right there.
Yeah.
But, no, it's and I've never been to a national game. I've been to the stadium right there. I should have gone in and at least looked at it.
That'd be kind of cool.
But you go all these places on both sides of the Potomac River. It is, I'm not kidding, you could spend a year there and mm-hmm. it, forget the politics.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to even vote just to go see yeah. the history of it all and the incredible museums.
That's it, like the Smithsonian, you could spend a week there.
I've spent a lot of time there, it's amazing.
I love museums.
Or I've gone to the top of the tower of
the Washington Monument.
Washington Monument.
Or the Obelisk,
is
that it?
Yeah, God, I'm getting old, I forget this. Yeah,
I think the Washington
Obelisk,
is, yeah. yeah. And then there's the Lincoln Rotunda.
Yeah, and you can walk up the steps there, look out.
Sit on his lap, pretend he's Santa Claus.
Yeah, I didn't get on his lap.
Nah, I wouldn't either, but, you know.
The Jefferson Memorial, and the Vietnam Memorial there, but it's all, everything there is a trip to Smithsonian,
mm-hmm.
but the restaurants, and I tell people, if you get nothing out of this show, if you go to listen to this, if you go to D.C.
That's when you wear the suit.
You wear a suit.
Yeah.
Not a sports jacket.
Right.
Don't dress like Dan Tana.
With elbow patch
jacket and
loafers.
Jeans.
Yeah.
Get a suit. I don't care. It doesn't have to be a $10,000 suit. Go to the cheapest house place. Get a suit, a tie,
mm-hmm.
and you wear a suit to a baseball game, which I've done,
uh-huh.
Baltimore and New York. But you wear a suit to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dressed even beautifully, expensive, casual,
yeah,
doesn't matter. You could just be it's a tourist from Nebraska. You could be the president of some union. You could be the biggest, you could be Tom Hanks.
Uh-huh.
If you're dressed like I am now, you're not getting anywhere.
Right.
You wear a suit, you could be a gas station employee.
Yeah.
You work at ARCO. Do whatever. They don't know. You can be the senator from Nebraska now. They don't know.
Right.
So they treat you like a god.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting things for free, but you're getting the snap service.
You're getting good service. Getting
and,
that and, table, and that's, getting service.
And I thought it was a joke, but I've discovered, so I tried it.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, this is, it's a 100% fact. You dress nice.
Mm-hmm.
You never, if you want to look like a geek, a geek from a cruise ship on tour in Maui, wear your shorts. In D.C., it's just stupid. I don't care if it's 100 degrees and 100% humidity.
Yeah.
You wear a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And the service you get is incredible.
Nice.
And I love the place. And I haven't been back in a while, but...
I'm going to wear a suit to New Year's Eve if I go to my friend's house, just to blow their mind. And show up in a suit.
You are, huh? I wear
a suit. I might.
What for? Just
to be weird. Yeah.
That's not mind. Weird. That's funny. Yeah. I put on one of my couple suits. I've had to retailer a little bit, but I wear those once in a while to freak people out. They go, uh-huh. "What the hell's going on? Who died?"
I might just go sport jacket though. Maybe sport jacket jeans because I want to get a tailor suit because I lost a little bit of weight and I kind of want to think I'm going to stay at this level. You know, really now that I think I got things under control, I'm not going to get.
That'd be a nice Christmas present from the owner of the station.
A tailor-made suit?
Yeah, tailor-made suit.
Yeah.
It'd be great. I think you should.
I'd have to put that on my Christmas list. She just handed me a note of something.
Ask the AI.
Yeah, that came up recently. You know, with all the AI that's out there, the Swiss Catholic Church has decided, in their wisdom, did you ever do confession in your... years of Catholicism?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So you're familiar with that, 100%.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Swiss Catholic Church has decided they use an AI Jesus to listen to your sins now. And it just requotes Bible scripture instead of, you know, a couple of Hail Marys and a little bit of community service or whatever.
They make you listen to the Bible?
Yeah, well, that's the answer. They just, you know, requote Bible scripture now instead of, you know, maybe some insight that your local...
The Swiss. Well, that probably is good because the Swiss never make a mistake.
I was going to say, they're neutral as can be. And, you know, of all things, I mean, the Bible's the Bible. And if you're already Catholic, you believe in the Bible, so you're not really going to get misinformation. Where, you know,
the Bible's all full of shit.
Well, I'm at least they believe in it, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But, the Christians quote what they want to quote.
Yeah.
They'll quote about, there's an old thing, sorry to interrupt you, but.
Yeah, yeah.
For that movie, the TV show about the president with Martin Sheen, some lady comes in.
Oh, The West Wing.
Yeah, gives him a bad time about gays.
Yeah.
And he starts quoting the Bible about working on Sunday,
yeah.
Touching pigs, which means you can't play football.
On Sunday, too.
On Sunday, yeah.
It's like, whoa, Nelly.
You know, it's amazing about confession. Uh-huh. That's the way to end the show. We were in third or fourth grade. We got marched over at visitation, grammar school, Westchester. Before First Friday, your whole class gets marched over to have to mandatory confession.
Wow.
And I got the Monsignor O'Sullivan, who I went to his funeral with a buddy of mine named John Parsons.
Uh-huh.
Remember John?
Yeah.
Just to make sure. We went to his funeral. Did I say wedding? I went to his funeral.
Yeah.
Just to make sure he's dead.
Just to make sure.
Such a piece of shit. I hope he rots himself in hell. He never. And you see, the Catholic Church has to pay out $880 million recently for all the boys they tampered with.
Yeah, they've had some issues there.
Anyway, to get me riled up, so I go to confession. So bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Yeah.
I ditched last Sunday's mass. I hopped over the fence. I used to live in Westchester. Backed up to Manchester Street. Across the street was one of the slot car tracks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was 8 or 9 years old. I went over there, played slot car. Went home, told my parents I went to mass.
Uh huh.
Yeah, so I confess that. The Monsignor jumps out of the confessional and confronts me face to face.
Because you'd skip mass.
I'm a little kid, and he's like, I married your parents. And if I find out you did that again, I'll throw you out of the school. And this is an 8-year-old kid remembering every word.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll never do this again.
Wow.
So.
Never confess or never skip?
Never
mass.
Never confess.
So, that's mass. The correct answer.
So you fast forward to 1996, and Pam wanted to get married officially in the Catholic Church.
Right.
So we had to pay $500 each to use the same priest that annulled Joe Montana's marriage, because he got married in the church we go to. Where our kids went to school at St. Lawrence.
I think you've mentioned that before. Yeah.
So he married Redondo High Girl, and she's still married to him.
I know. Good. That's great.
So I go before our renewal of our vows, Monsignor Lenihan. Says, Steve, I got to talk to you. It takes me to the back room. I have to hear your confession. You know, I haven't done this since I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
He goes, well, I got to hear it. Part of the rules. I go, you ever seen that Snickers commercial? You're not going anywhere for a while. You better have a Snickers bar. And he started laughing. And he goes, you've not done any of the bad things? I said, I've not done any of the really bad ones. I've done some bad ones. But he goes, okay, you're good.
None of the big ones.
No, I haven't,
the headlines.
I haven't done any headlines. I haven't done anything bad. So anyway. That was it. But I've been back. I went to a funeral 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. A guy from where I grew up.
Yeah.
And I went to get the first communion because I only do that at a mass at a funeral.
Uh huh.
And Marianne Parsons, John's wife, was giving out the communion. When I went up to her, she about crapped herself on the altar, thinking, "What the hell is Steve Aspel doing up here getting communion?"
Wow.
Anyway, that's it. So it's time to go.
On a high note.
I insulted the Catholic Church. I hope I can drive home okay.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
We'll drive right past and say a Hail Mary.
I'll go say a Hail Mary. Say three Hail Marys and look for an altar boy.
We'll see you next week.
But in the end, there's just no place like home. Redondo Beach. Woo! One hell of a city.